Hey y'all, and welcome back. This is a sexual healing podcast where we talk about all topics from the top of your head to the bottom of your crusty ass feet.
Crusty dusty feet, right?
It's crusty dusty, thank you. Because, you know, a lot of y'all brothers refuse to get pedicures. And it ain't right. Ain't nothing wrong with taking care of your body. I'm just saying. Keep them toes in check. Don't nobody want to be with anybody whose toenails is shredding their duck made motherfucking sheets. But okay. There's someone else on the show. I shouldn't just be the only one talking here. He goes by the name of...
Dark Boy.
Now, are you Dark Boy today or are you Mr. Dark Boy today?
I am Dark Boy today.
Okay, because you know, when you're Mr. Dark Boy, we know it's that kind of day. All right. Okay, I respect that. Alrighty, so, let's see here. How you doing?
I'm good.
You got through the week, you know.
Yes.
What got you through? Was there anything in particular? Was it music? Was it just, you know, I know you got travel coming up, so that's a big one.
Yeah, basically the travel, the thought of the travel. I mean, you know.
Okay.
The usual, you know, hanging out with friends and stuff like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Our usual Wednesday night gathering, which is always nice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I needed y'all badly Wednesday. I can't remember.
A nice break from the stupid thing. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but a nice break from the other drama. Just life in general, I suppose.
Okay. Yeah. No. I just remember, like, Wednesday night, I just, there was, like, a clear demarcation between, okay, I'm working now, and it's like, oh, God, the guys are here. I can't, oh. Yeah, it's just, I just remember this was a rough week. I mean, for multiple reasons on my end. It was a really crazy week, though. And I'm not sure why it was so crazy. What I can say is, I had me a cocktail last night. It was desperately needed.
And it's still tearing you up.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, though, the effects of said cocktail didn't really kick in until this morning when I tried to get out to bed. Because, you know, one margarita, that's just a little sip. That's not really hardcore. Like, ooh, I'm toe up and I can't function. So I don't know what was going on with that. Yeah, so for me, the week was just, it was brutal. Yesterday was several shades of crazy, you know, because I kept having to shift between different mindsets of, oh, okay, I have business stuff to tend to in the morning, and then I had family stuff in the early afternoon, and then I had a couple appointments, and then I was trying to be a creative later, and it was just, I found just the shifts exhausting, I'll put it that way. So, I said, okay, but I'm here, you know. Another week has been gotten through, and there was enlightenment, ooh, gosh, wow, enlightenment obtained of some kind.
Okay.
No,
that's good. If you could go through the tough week and come out the end with something else besides drama, you know, you're ahead of the game already.
That's it. Life is all about coming out on the other side. So, it's like, but okay, yeah. So, let us move forth. Try to be halfway on schedule this week. Because we've not been on schedule lately. Okay, so, it's time for our next segment.
Yes, so it's time for the Blacklist. And the Blacklist is our list of our favorite black things. So... previous weeks, we've done favorite black actresses and favorite movie characters. Mm-hmm. And so now we're going to do favorite black actors. We thought, time to get some men into the mix. So
yeah, because they didn't make it on the list otherwise.
Men did not.
No.
So we're going to do our top three. So you want to go first? You want me to go first? How you want to? With number
you
three.
You can go first. Yeah.
Okay. My number three... is Idris Elba. Yes. So he's kind of one of those people that there's certain movies, like if I see a particular actor, I'll watch it, you know, just because I like the actor. So he's one of them.
Okay.
Yeah, so, and I seem to like him when he's playing. I mean, he does play bad characters. I mean, like, I don't know if you say evil, but just not so good characters. Mm-hmm. And then good ones. But I think I kind of like him when he plays the bad ones. Like, you know, No Good Deed. He was a little crazy in that one.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen that. Yeah. Okay.
He's a little crazy.
And
then in Star Trek Beyond, he was also a little, you know, had some shade to him there, too. So
he did. Yeah. He did. Yeah.
But, he's just a very handsome guy anyway, and I could totally, totally see him playing 007. I don't know if when that decision is supposed to be made or if it's going to be made, but if he's in it, he's a perfect fit. So,
well, now you know white folks are not going to survive him being 007. I think it would be fabulous.
I can't. Who else right now? Who else is even? You know, his name has been put out there. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's a perfect fit. I can't think of anybody else right now who would not play him if it's not Idris. You know what I mean? Who? I can't think of anybody.
Yeah. I'm sure that we could probably dig up somebody. He would be awesome. I would love to see that. I really would. But I don't see them letting that happen.
I think it will happen. People just gonna have to get over it.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, they were already up in arms when they were talking about making. I don't watch the show, but when they were talking about making Doctor Who, the reincarnation of Doctor Who, be a black woman, and folks are just like, "Oh no,
up in arms.
This PC thing has gone too far."
So your number three is who?
My number three is Mr. Lawrence Fishburne.
Yeah.
Is my number three. He's been in the game for a while. As I understand, he has a bit of a nefarious personal life, so there could be charges at some point. I don't know. those are allegations and rumors. But certainly his work that he's done on my TV screen and on movie screens, and even the live stage, I believe he's done some really great work there as well. Yeah, because I was trying to decide between he and Denzel. And, you know, because Denzel, I felt like Denzel would have been like the easy one. I mean, he's definitely a favorite. So if he's on your list, don't tell us now.
No, okay.
But I mean, just Denzel's easy. So obviously Denzel is on my list, but he's not on it officially right now because I wanted to, you know, because certainly Denzel and The Equalizer had me moist. I was like, well, damn, can I? Ooh. And now he's back in The Equalizer 2 and I'm moist again. Oh. So, you know, I'm dripping when I don't want to drip. So, So, as I said, you know, and really talking about an actor that makes me drip when I don't want to drip, my honorable mention is Dennis Haysbert, because that man is fine.
Yeah, beautiful man is, there.
Yeah, he has aged like a lovely bottle of a Chablis, a big bold red, you know. My wine knowledge escapes me, but he's aging well. I fell in love with him in Major League when he was playing Serrano, and he was like, you know, doing his bicep curls and his black jock strap. It was just it was just wrong. It was lovely.
Yeah, well, it was gonna be that wrong.
It was a sight to behold. I said, who the fuck is that? I'd never seen him before, and I really thought he was like from the Caribbean. You know, it's like I really thought he was from Jamaica, wherever he was, that character was supposed to be from. And then I saw him in Waiting to Exhale, and I said, "Ooh, okay, now he's in a suit. I'm liking it." Yeah, I would do nasty things to him. But yeah, my number three is Lawrence Fishburne, whom I respect a great deal. He was one of the hilarious moments for me in The Color Purple when Squeak slapped Sophia. And he said, oh, time to go. You know, oh no, he didn't say it. That was the other guy. I don't think Lawrence, he just kind of had this look like, oh shit, you know, but the old man was like, oh, time to go, you know. And of course, yeah, it was just, he's been in some different things and he's, you know, Morpheus in the Matrix, hotness, you know, I love a bald man. So, and he has skills, but I think also as Pops on Blackish, hilarious. He has no damn sense. So yeah, Lawrence Fishburne is my number three. Okay. Who's your number two?
My number two is, people might be, might be a little shocked. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's the right word, but Samuel L. Jackson.
Ooh. No, I don't think that's shocking. Well, Sam works hard.
Yeah, well, because what I like about him is that nobody can play crazy like he can.
Oh, God.
And in Django Unchained, oh, he was crazy. Ooh. In that. Oh, my God.
Nuts. Yes.
And in Lakeview Terrace, he was a different kind of crazy. Crazy, but he was like, want to kill him kind of crazy in that one.
Yes. I didn't see all of it, but I saw parts.
Yeah. So I just like that he could just play these crazy. I mean, again, he's another one. You know, if a movie's on, I was like, I at least got to see what it is, you know.
Yeah. Have you seen Black Snake Moan?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I saw like the trailer. I can't watch it. It's just.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't even really remember the plot of the movie.
I think Justin Timberlake's character was like, hey, can you keep an eye on my girlfriend while I'm, you know, in the army or some kind of shit like that. And apparently she was a nymphomaniac and he had to chain her ass up until, you know, her coochie pool, you know, cooled off. That seemed to be trailer. It was a strange movie. Well, it just struck me as an allegory for King Kong, but. You were saying.
Okay, maybe. Yeah. See, I don't remember all that. The one thing that I do remember about that movie, is I did not know until the end that the girlfriend you're talking about was Christina Ricci. I did not know until the very end of the movie. Didn't recognize her at all.
Mm-hmm.
Until the very end. I thought, oh my God, that's her.
Yep. Well, see, I'd seen her play like a vampish kind of character in the movie. Oh, what was the name of that movie? The Opposite of Sex.
Yes, I saw that one too.
Yeah, that's, so I mean, ooh, and she looked awful pregnant in that movie. I was just like, girl. Well, I think it was the belly, and then she was still trying to wear bodycon dresses while she was like 8-9 months pregnant. And she just looked nasty. I know pregnancy is a beautiful thing, but she looked nasty, which means that the production team did a great job because she was supposed to be a nasty ass character and they did it well. But how I get on Christina Ricci talking about Samuel. Yeah. Well, Samuel, he definitely, I love Samuel as well. He is just, I love that, you know, he kind of pulled himself out of addiction many years ago. Because, you know, I remember when he played Gator in, Jungle Fever. His wife, and I think he also was a little concerned because it was a little too close to reality for him playing that character. He was concerned about relapsing, but he didn't, thankfully. And right, he gave us probably the performance of the movie. As Gator, you know. Oh, do you remember Jungle Fever?
I do.
Spike Lee.
Yep.
Yeah, it was definitely a Spike Lee movie because it had that chaos with the loud ass music at the end and but it was also like, damn, Gator. Yeah. So. Yeah, and Snakes on a Plane. You know.
Yes. I know.
There is not a role he is turning down.
And I mean, I know people like totally ripped that movie, but honestly, you know, it's kind of a,
I enjoyed Snakes on a Plane.
Me too. I mean, I don't know if it's, if you say it's campy, I don't think campy is the right word, but I can't think of the right word.
It was actually, you know what it was? It was like an homage to the
the airplane disaster movies.
Yeah.
Kind of, sort of.
Yeah, they took that and they also mixed in like Animals Run Amok and, you know, and it had its moments, but I thought it was, they did a reasonably good job with it. I mean, it's snakes on a
Yeah,
motherfucking
you can't go. Where are you gonna go? Where are you gonna go?
plane. Yeah,
You know.
I mean, we were all waiting on the iconic line and he did offer it. He served it up there. Snakes on this motherfucking plane. You know, it's like, he curses better than anyone. You know
Yes.
what? I think the best role for me, for him, that I saw was probably Pulp Fiction.
Okay.
Because, yeah, and well, I don't know if it was, he's done so many great roles, but that one sticks out to me because it plays to so many of his strengths that he does philosophy so well. Like, he was just kind of being a cultural critic and. And yeah, what's his name? Lucius in that one? I think it was Lucius.
I don't remember.
And then when he had the briefcase and, you know, the whole mystery around that, he played that shit so well. And also his voice work on The Boondocks as G Money.
Yes, how can we forget that?
Yeah, he, you know, and I just, yeah, Sam works and does not phone it in. He does not phone it in. He's like, look, I think he may have been homeless at some point during his addiction, so he does not take any opportunity for granted. I'm guessing his wife goes on set with them, because otherwise she'll never see her husband.
That's true.
But
It's
yeah, but
not like she has to work. I guess she doesn't want to. So.
yeah, unless she, I think she does work though. I think she has a career. The thing that I also remember, he had an interview with someone, and he said, you know, oh, he would go to pitch meetings, for movies, and he would wear all white, and it would be like a lunch meeting or something like that. And he's like, you know, when you wear all white to a meeting like that, they know you ain't fucking around. 'Cause you gotta have a certain amount of confidence to wear all white in the first place, but then to wear all white around food, he's like, you gotta be a bad motherfucker. And I was like, okay, Sam.
I guess so.
Like, yeah, it was wild, but yeah, so love Samuel Jackson, you know.
Yes.
But he was your number two, right?
Yes. So
Okay,
you're
see,
number
I'm just
two.
I'm running my mouth and then lost track of the count. Okay, so my number two is someone that's been mentioned. It is Mr. Idris Elba.
Oh, okay.
I too would get moist about the prospect of him in a tuxedo playing James Bond. But I love him. I was totally intrigued by his physicality in Star Trek Beyond. And when they finally showed us it was him, because I was like,
Yeah, you
that
didn't know.
voice, yeah. I mean, he was all disfigured and shit. And I said, oh my God, it's Idris. But actually, had he just been Idris the whole movie, it would have lost something. I love that reveal because they needed something, you know, by the time they got to the planet. So it's like, but I love him as John Luther in the series, the British series Luther.
You know, I need to watch that. People say it's so good, and I've just never. I need to get
Yeah.
started first. Once I get started, I'm sure I'll be hooked, but I just have never gotten started on it.
Yeah, Luther. I didn't know Luther existed until like a couple of friends of mine on Facebook were like, "Oh my God, Luther!" And I said, "What's this Luther mess everybody talking about?" And so I got it on, I think on DVD, the first season, which is 4 or 6 episodes, because you know the British, they don't do 22 episode seasons like we do. They hit it and they quit it.
Yeah, they're very short seasons.
Yeah, I, you know, Luther, excellent. Once you're into it, I would say give it at least 35, 40 minutes, because it starts out very like, And I said, I don't know what I'm watching. What is everybody talking about? But then when you realize what's going on, you're like, oh shit, okay. Because there's a character in there that just, oh, love her. She a bad bitch. Love her. Crazy as fuck. but I love her. Okay. It's like, yeah, they play so well together. So yeah, it starts out a little like, what am I watching? I don't know. But it's really good. I would, yeah. That's something that you and the hubby might like. If he can settle into it, I think he'd really like it.
Yeah, well, he'd watch it just for Idris, so.
Oh, okay, well, yeah.
Idris and that's all he's going to need, so.
Okay, he only going to see the face. He don't take nothing off.
I know.
Yeah. He might be in a tank top at some point, if memory serves me.
That'll be enough, but, probably right there.
Okay, yeah, because, well, you know, if he ever needs to see Idris, you know, showing a little more, he needs to watch Takers. There is a quick segment in Takers where Idris's character is in his hotel room or at his house or something like that, and he gets out of the bed and he just got on a pair of drawers.
I think I saw that. I think we were in the theater. I think we were in the theater and saw that, and I remember, I think there was a woman behind me, she gasped when that scene came on.
Yeah, I basically gasped a little bit my damn self. I said, ooh. And it was like, don't be lecherous, respect his talent. But the booty and the bulge, and I said, my lord, Idris, we didn't know. It's like, I didn't know up to that point. Because he's always been very clothed and, you know.
And modest. Yeah, just, well, I don't know if modest is the right word, but.
Yeah, no, I don't know if modest is quite it. But, I mean, he's had roles where he hasn't had to take off his clothes. But, yeah, he looked good.
Okay.
He looked real good. Okay, yeah, so that's my number two. He's, you know, versatility. Love to see him as Bond. The fact that he used to be a DJ, just, you know, it's just really interesting to me. Yeah. So he's my number two for the skill as well as his looks to pay the bills. Yeah. You know. Okay. Who's your number one?
My number one is Morgan Freeman.
Oh, he was almost my number one.
Oh. Yeah. I like him. And I think, for me, I think probably the movie that really did it. Well, for one thing, anything he narrates, he just makes it sound really good when he narrates.
Yes.
So he doesn't necessarily even have to be in it, just his voice alone. And think, maybe I'm a little envious of that voice because, you know. But I really liked Shawshank Redemption is one of my favorite movies.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's in it. So he plays he's one of the main characters. And so I just love that movie. I loved his character.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also liked, Deep Impact. You know, he played the president, you know.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So back then, somebody had the forethought, like, we're going to have a black president one day. And so Deep Impact, he was that president.
But they always make us the black president when the world's about to be destroyed.
I know, but, well, that's true.
They did that to Dennis Haysbert in, 24. It wasn't right.
So Morgan Freeman definitely usually whatever he's in, I'll probably watch it.
Yeah, I like him in everything he's done. You know, what's that, Bruce Almighty playing God?
Yes.
It was really, you know, in his white suit just pimping. I said, wow. And also the movie Red. With Bruce Willis and Helen Mirren, the old...
Yes, I did see that one.
Yeah, the old assassins, you know, the retired assassins.
Yes.
Yeah, he was so suave in that movie. He just added a certain oomph to it, you know? Oh, gosh. With the movie with Angelina Jolie. The League of Assassins. They had the loom.
It's not Taken, but
no, it's another one word show. Oh gosh.
Yeah, now I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, it's a trip though. I'm having a surreal moment because I now understand. Like whenever I listen to podcasts and people are like talking about stuff like that,
and they can't remember the name,
and I'm like, "Bitch, it's so and so." So now I've had my moment where somebody's like, "Bitch, it's so and so."
Someone's doing that to you right now.
Basically, yes. So I apologize to anyone that I have called a bitch in my head when they couldn't remember something. But yeah, that one was, he was like really suave and he was the bad guy. And I was really disturbed about that. But I appreciate him playing against type. Okay. Did you have anything else you want to share about Morgan? I'm like an elephant in a china shop this morning.
What is your number one?
Okay, my number one originally and still is Danny Glover. Because I, much like my grandmother, hated him for a number of years for his portrayal of Mister in The Color Purple. Could not trust that brother. Every time I saw him, even when he was in like I can't remember shit this morning. What's the one
Die Hard?
With Mel? No, he wasn't in Die Hard. No, it was the one with Mel Gibson, the cops. Ah, they did three or four of them. This is a shame.
Die Hard.
Oh, we are tragic this morning.
We are.
Lethal Weapon.
Yes.
Even when I saw him in that, you know, as Murtaugh, I was still like, no. Fuck him. He did Seeley wrong. You know? my grandmother, she refused to watch some movie he was in because she refused to watch it because he was in the movie. And I said, Dad, that was a character. She didn't care. She did not care. She said, no, fuck that. Fuck him. I was like, I'm not dealing with him. Because, you know, it was set in Tennessee. And so she's a Tennessee lady. So she was like, no, fuck him. it was a mess. And you've met my grandmother, so you know.
Yes.
Yeah. I was like, ooh, okay, well, I'm going to leave this alone. He was my number one because, you know, Danny has brought it in many roles. He has just this really good, like, he's had this wonderful, lovable teddy bear thing about him, like in Lethal Weapon. You know, he had two kids there. He was just like super dad. And then he also, I have to admit, he had me moist. And Proud Mary, because the suits were tough, and he's aged well. He's aged very well.
I did not see Proud Mary.
Oh yeah, I did go see Proud Mary. I supported Taraji. The movie was fair to middling. it was not a cinematic, you know, highlight. Because it was something was missing from it. I mean, I wouldn't say don't go see it. That would not be an accurate statement. But something was missing to really take it over the top. I think it just kind of came out of nowhere. Like the plot, it just struck me as very odd. They tried. It was almost reminiscent in some regards of Black Panther, the way it started. Yeah, it was kind of like, it's strange. Because I just kept feeling like, okay, who is this woman? What are we going to do? Is she just killing people? Like, what's the deal? it was a very strange movie. But I enjoyed it. You know, she killed a lot of people. She whooped some ass. She had
Which is always a good thing to see. You know,
yeah.
They deserve it.
Yeah, you know, she definitely was a badass. She had skills. So it was, I mean, I enjoyed the movie. But Danny Glover certainly, you know, caught the eye. I said, wow, Danny's still got it going on. Yeah, he looked good in that voice. And the thing about Danny Glover took me to my 1A or my co-1. I know we're not supposed to have a co-1, but he's a late addition. And some folks might agree with me, but they can fight me. I don't care. It is Mr. James Earl Jones.
Okay.
Yes. Because that voice, he's Darth Vader. But I first saw him in the movie Claudine, and it was on and popping. you know, because I love a hairy chest. So, especially on a black man, I said, well, damn, who is this and what's all that? And yeah, I mean, he's not the most traditionally attractive man, but worked for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plus, he all big, you know. It's just like he got them shoulders and shit. And yeah, I mean, a younger James Earl Jones was like, ooh. And even now, you know, he still has that handsomeness about him. He's just, yeah, and there's just a certain weight. He did a guest appearance on Big Bang Theory maybe 3 seasons ago, playing himself, and he was hilarious. He was like a mischievous kid, and I have a feeling that's probably what he's like. It's like, at least a part of him is like that, because he was I think his wife had put him on a diet or something, and so the character kept offering him like a muffin or something, and he kept telling him no, and then he finally broke down, and he's like, no, don't tell my wife. And it's just hilarious. It was like, I don't remember if he said don't tell my wife, but he had a look. He either said it or he had a look on his face like, look, don't tell nobody, I'm about to eat this. And it was just hilarious. So yeah, but there were so many guys to choose from. You know, like I said, Denzel earlier could have easily been number one. But to keep the list interesting, I went with Danny Glover.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
James Earl was kind of on my list. Again, well, I thought about James Earl when I mentioned Morgan Freeman's voice, just because, you know.
Yeah. Iconic
voice. My voice is just a little different than theirs.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little bit of a... little envious there, but that's okay.
Yeah. You know, I have to say, podcasting has made me far more comfortable with my voice, because I've always hated it for years.
Me too. So,
yeah. But that's a common thing. A lot of people, unless they have like that voice, they hate their voice when they hear it back, because it also sounds different in your ears and your head compared to what you hear played back.
Yes, it definitely does.
Yeah. I think singing probably gave me a different perspective on my voice as well, because my vocal coach would have me basically record a selfie video because I wasn't using my lips the way he wanted me to, like shaping my mouth. And so he would have me do the long vowels, and he's like, I want you to record a video saying mom and send it to your mom. And I said, huh? He's like, just do it. And then the first time I did it, he's like, now watch it. And I was like, oh God, I want to watch this. I look crazy. And is that what I sound like? And because my voice is a lot higher in pitch to the rest of the world than it sounds to me. It has a certain raspy depth that I hear that other people don't. So it's weird. So I'm having to accept that reality and not fight it.
Me too.
I hate it. Look at us growing up through podcasting.
Exactly.
Oh, wow. See, there are benefits to us in this instead of just getting to act a fool.
Exactly.
Yeah. But okay, we are way off schedule. So,
that ends the blacklist.
Yeah.
For this week. We'll have another one next week.
We will, and we will happily take suggestions for blacklists as well. So, we'll do our email solicitation pitch later. You know.
Yes.
Yeah. We hope they'll pour in at some point as opposed to trickle the way they do now.
Yeah.
But, but that's all right. We love y'all.
Yeah.
And we know we're new. So, y'all don't believe we're going to be back every week, but we're trying. This is episode, what, 11?
I can't keep track.
Look at us. Yeah, well, you know, I have the the log right in front of me. This is episode 11.
Okay.
And our feature topic this week is what I do differently. Also known as, if I knew then, what I know now. It's like...
Yep.
I almost... wanted to title it Requiem for Regret, but, you know, folks be like, look, Dr. Pookie, bring your ass up out the dictionary, please, and just talk like a normal person. So,
yeah.
No Requiem for Regret? Maybe that's the title.
No.
But okay. Oh, goodness. So, did you want to start us off?
Yeah, I could So I think on one other episode I started off saying this is not the coming out episode.
No.
I don't know when we're going to do that.
At some point that'll happen.
It's on the list. It's just not scheduled. But I will say, not that I regret coming out. Mm-hmm. I don't regret that at all. What I did is I waited to come out. Thinking that was going to give time for people to get over. Well, I don't want to say get over. Mm-hmm. It sounds harsh. But to understand, I guess, gay people a little better. And so in my mind, I'm thinking that I'm waiting. While I'm waiting, that there are people that are actively doing things to overcome their issues or their differences or their lack of understanding about gay people or what gay people go through or mm-hmm. gay people experience. And child, it didn't do me any good. Because when I did come out, it was like, it was no point even waiting.
Oh, wow. Really. Yeah. That's...
yeah. So knowing what I know now, I would have just... because the other thing that happened is that I... In a sense, even though I tend to be outspoken and I tend to really be very picky about how I'm treated or how people think they can treat me, I did kind of, I don't want to say give in, but I kind of let it be where basically other people kind of dictated or, you know, who was going to know and when they were going to know mm-hmm. and how they were going to be told. And giving in like that to me, honestly, was not the right thing because it's still causing problems today. And I would have, knowing what I know now, I would have come out full force when I was ready. Everybody would have known. Everybody would have to deal with it. Everybody would have to, whatever issues you got, you know, figure it out and come back to me when you do. That's how it would have been. Would have been a little bit more hardcore.
yeah.
I'm like, okay.
Oh, you know, wow.
That's the number one for me.
Wow. yeah. I mean, I certainly didn't. The thing for me certainly around coming out without going into the saga would be that of the folks in my immediate family, like the immediate circle, my mom was the last one I talked to.
Oh.
It was weird. It was just, and I kind of feel a little raggedy about that I didn't actually call her directly.
She didn't find your stash of pornos?
If she did, she never said anything to me. Because you know I had one. I was an enterprising young gay, you know. I was a little on the big side for my age, so I was like in... What was it? Now, Mama, don't bust me upside the head, because you know she listens to the show. Because, although it's always funny, because I don't think she's ever going to get through a full episode, because... At a certain point, she's like, I don't need to know. And she, it's like, that's what she did with the side pieces episode. She,
well, then, I mean, she didn't find your porno then.
If you had porno, she didn't say anything. She's never said anything to this day about finding my stash. But by the time I graduated from high school, I had a nice stash. You know, I would like keep a little piece of my allowance and go get my little magazine. And I think I was like 16, walking up in a liquor store buying shit, and the guy was like, you know, I remember the one guy. It's the liquor store at Mama, please don't spank me now, because I used to actually get on my bike and ride down from where we lived to that store, because they had the gay magazines there. And something I remember from junior high, because I went to junior high school over there. And so I was like, well, I need to see some penis. I need to see some ass and some chests and some booties. And so I knew where to go. And so I used to go down there and get my little magazine, and then I'd make my way back home. It's like, you know, and I'd be like, oh, what's this? You know, it was wild. But yeah, I don't think she found the stash. She's never said she's found a stash.
Okay.
I mean, nowadays the stash is it's digital, so you know, it's password protected.
It's Tumblr on your phone.
there's not much on the phone. The tablet though. Ooh. Yeah, if I have a password on it, it's, you know. Yeah,
it's
there's bad. Filth in there.
It's good. Well, bad.
Yeah, there's some things that might be considered nasty by some. That's there, but also for client confidentiality, because you know I got client data in there and stuff. You know, got to maintain my oath and things.
So what's one of your?
Oh gosh, well that was like a
not regrets.
Yeah, that was, I mean, certainly that would have been a thing where I wish I would have called and said, hey, Mom, got to tell you something. And she would have told me, yeah, I already knew, which she did. She knew a long time ago. She just said, well, I figured when you were ready, you would say something. It wasn't my place to pull that out of you. But not getting into that story. Once upon a time, I encountered a trainer, a personal trainer, while walking out of, walking into one of your favorite restaurants, or one of, at least one of your husband's favorite eateries, George's. And said trainer, I was with my nail lady, having lunch, and I guess we had a certain look about us, and we certainly were both on the plump side at the time. So I worked with him for about 2 years, give or take, and he took about 50 pounds off of me. And I had gotten, my body had gotten to a point that I was really starting to see some hint of abs, you know? And I just, finances, you know, with paying subcontractors and employees, and I just couldn't keep it up anymore, so I had to kind of let it go. But if I, one thing I wish I would have done differently was to have stayed the course. I was actually down to a weight that was less than my high school weight.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it was, so there's like, remember the picture of me on my Facebook profile? It's like a selfie in the mirror. I was in the airport in Albuquerque.
Yep. I think I remember that picture.
Yes. I mean,
were you wearing like an orange shirt or something in that picture?
No, it was a light blue shirt and some gray and white checkered shorts. But yeah, the cab driver that morning told me I looked sporty. And when I saw one of my aunts later that week at a barbecue, she told me that I looked dainty.
Dainty.
And then asked me, yeah, she's like, you're looking a little dainty. And I said, Auntie. I was like, you know, and then she was like, is there anything you need to tell us? I said, about what?
Oh, they think you are sick.
Basically, yeah. You know, if you black and you lose weight, you know, something clearly going on. But, yeah, I wish I would have stayed the course. I wish I would have. I knew enough at that point to put together a workout on my own. I still had a membership at that facility. I just didn't. I didn't stay with it. It certainly had some really significant health benefits, I'm sure, that I probably took for granted. And I've been, and actually at a certain point I did kind of start working out again, but I've probably put about 30 of those 50 pounds back on.
Okay.
Tragically. But I,
yes.
Yeah.
Well, know. Not that I noticed or anything, but
yeah, people still like, oh, you look so much slimmer. I said, no, it's because you haven't seen me in a while. But maybe I do look slimmer, but all I know is my belly is threatening to fall over, which means that that is time for action.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think really just staying the course, taking better care of myself in terms of exercise, and just really making that fitness a part of my life. That was just a non-negotiable part.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah. Because I know you're doing that, you know.
Well, see, that's kind of one of my regrets. Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, I say regrets, but I mean, kind of goes along with what you just said. Like, I'm working with a personal trainer now.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, right now, my arms are on fire
from
the other day. And so part of me wishes that, I thought, well, gee, if I knew it was going to be this hard at 44, you know, to try to get in shape or get in better shape. I mean, I would have done it when I was in my 20s or done it when I was a teenager. And, you know, I always had the interest that I wanted to always be like, you know, going to the gym or staying thin or staying fit or whatever, being careful about what I ate. But I never did anything. And so now I'm doing it, trying to do it now, and it's harder now.
Oh, it's much harder.
I would have done it back then because, you know, I mean, I know back then, I think I probably would have. It just would be easier. I think I'm the work that I'm doing now, if I would have done it when I was in my 20s, I think I would look completely different.
Mm-hmm.
So it does change. You know, things do change as you get older. So
yeah,
that's one of them. Yeah, I would have just done it a long time ago, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's like, and I think the thing for people, for me, going through that process of working with a trainer, you know, I think one of the great benefits of a trainer, because people are like, they cost too much. They're not cheap, no. And there's a reason why they can charge, because they push you further than you think you can go. He was very good at what he did.
I think one other thing for me, you know, at one of my jobs, not my current job. Mm-hmm. This was years and years ago.
Okay.
The people there, I mean, they were kind of whatever. It's one of those places where, you know, you hear about these workplace shootings.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And I totally expected that one day that we would be one of those companies that had one of those shootings. And so what I did, they had sent an email or some kind of a thing that they wanted anonymous information from us workers about how they could improve, management could improve, and they could do better, and all this kind of stuff. And so I feel I answered, and I basically, I mean, I did it anonymously. You had the option to do it, you know, in person or whatever, and I just did an anonymous letter.
Mm-hmm.
And I ripped them to shreds, ripped Ooh. Them, you know, in that letter. You're doing this wrong. This, mm-hmm. what do you, you know, just totally ripped them to shreds.
Oh, being honest.
Yeah. My regret is that even though what I said was true, I didn't take into account what other people were going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a feeling that I was the only one on our team that actually did the anonymous letter. I think everyone else replied to the email. So it was obvious who it was that left the anonymous letter.
Oh.
Yeah. So everybody then was being super nice because now I had exposed all of these, basically all of their secrets that they thought I was too stupid to realize. And so everybody was being super nice, and it was just, so I immediately knew that they knew, you know. Oh, so then I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna lose my job, you know. So I would not do that again.
Well, but you kept it real.
Well, but then I still think, even though, yes, I know they needed to know, I thought it was good.
I mean, it's tough though.
Yeah, but then you know, you don't want to worry about you're going to lose your job,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I was, because the bad part is that the person in charge, now I only gave my letter to her. I didn't hand it to her. I just put it under her mm-hmm. door. So, but she obviously spread it to everybody else because, like I said, everybody else was being super extra nice, way nicer than they ever had been. I personally would not do that again. I would take into account, I guess, if I really felt that way, either leave the job if it's really that bad, to be quite honest, or just keep it to yourself and, you know, go through it. But so, I wouldn't do that because then eventually I did get laid off from that job. And then that led to other hardships, you know.
Yeah.
So I could only speculate that I was laid off because of that, but I don't know. I mean, the company was going through a hard time, so there were... I'll never know. So, I don't think I would do that again.
that'd be tough, especially when it's always such a trap when they ask you to quote unquote, you know, give them feedback on stuff like that because they don't really want to know. It's
well, yeah, and I was the stupid one that really thought that that was going to mean something. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, I think some companies do mean it, or at least they're trying.
Yeah.
Some I think are just too big to make the changes that are needed. But mm-hmm. this company was small enough. I thought that they could have done something, but it was stupid on my part, I think, to think that answering that letter or that doing what I did in the letter was really going to have any kind of a change. You know, I'm not trying to discourage people from talking if things really do need to change, but I would have put more thought into it at first.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. It seems to me like it's almost like this thing where they're trying to trap you. It's because they really do need the feedback because sometimes their shit is not up to par. They're bad leaders out there.
And theirs was not. And I thought that by even asking that was at least kind of a realization, like, hey, you know, we got to do better, and that somewhere somebody, you know, got a clue. I think that was one of the things I said in the letter, that people need to get a clue.
Wow.
And so at that time I felt like, oh, somebody got a clue and realized, oh, wow, you know, you want people to work and do good work, you got to treat them right first. So I was thinking, hey, well, you know, here's this other stuff that you guys need to work on, you know. So
wow.
Oh, well, lesson learned, I suppose, even though it doesn't, I mean, it sounds a little bit defeatist, I guess, but I'm like, okay, you know.
I don't know. It's, well, I think it's always hard to kind of stick your neck out there like that. I mean, it is good to blow the whistle when it needs to be blown, but, and people want you to do that, but they often overlook the consequences and the cost of doing it. That's what's problematic to me, I think, with that kind of thing. Yeah, I think in a similar vein for me, one thing I probably would have handled differently, because it actually had a very significant impact on me when I think about it. When I was in school, you do doctoral study, you go to study with a particular person as opposed to a school. And I had gone to a school somewhere in the Midwest. And my advisor, you know, my doctoral advisor, she was talking one day about her frustration about the fact that, you know, her program can only admit one student a year. And she basically, while trying to make a really good point, she basically told me the reason I was there at that point was because I was black, which of course did not go over well. Cause I just said, wait, what? Because at that point, I knew that I was pretty smart and I had the skills. I mean, but like a lot of folks, particularly people of color, you know, imposter phenomenon is real, where you just feel like, am I really supposed to be here? Am I as good as everybody else? Who are my peers at this point? And what she did at that point was basically kind of said no, which wasn't what it was. It was an administrative numbers game. But I mean, to me, as the only black person in the room, coming out her face like that, I was, you know, I basically just kind of walked away from the situation. Well, no, I just kind of sat there. I was like stunned. But I think knowing what I know now, I probably would have said, you know, I just heard what you said, which was really hurtful, and I just want to get clarification to find out whether I made a huge mistake in coming here to work with you, because that was really problematic and racist, I would say. I was like, and it really kind of chips away at my confidence and sense of self, and that's not okay. And instead, I basically got through that meeting with her, and my classmates and colleagues were all like, you know, if you had gotten up and walked out of the room, we would have been right behind you. And I kind of said, well, thank you. That's cute. I was like, maybe y'all needed to check her, because none of you said anything. So we all knew the point she was trying to make, but it's not what she said. So it was just really very, it was a problem. It was a real problem. So, yeah, I think I ended up switching advisors, which cost me about 2 years of my life. Because the advisor I went to was not nearly as engaged and directive as she would have been. I would have probably finished my program in 4 years instead of five. And probably had much more credentials and bona fides behind me as well, had I worked with her. Because I didn't talk to her for almost 3 weeks, if not a month, after that. And when we finally did talk, she's like, no, I deserve to be slapped. Verbally, of course. And I said,
she admitted that.
Yeah, she admitted it. I mean, but I think that the way it just kind of took me out the game. I just said, wait, what? Yeah, I mean, going into a program like that, you're already kind of in your head. And I didn't handle it well. And so I wish I would have done that differently. But yeah. But that's also the cost of being, you know, I'm sure if I convened a panel with black PhDs, we'd all have similar stories, either where it was overtly said or, you know, somebody in the building in the department let you know that you're not like the rest of us. You know, you're somehow inferior to the rest of us, because that's just what happens. In a lot of cases, there's a reason there aren't as many PhDs of color walking around, because the shit is rough, and it's rough in ways that are hard to explain. I've tried to explain it to students that have, you know, said they want to go to the next level, and I'm like, I don't think you're gonna make it, because you can't even keep up with me, and I'm on your team. It's like, I'm actually really, I care about you and want to see you do well, and you're not stepping up to the plate. I don't know how you're going to get through a doctoral program. It's not happening. Where I've had to say, well, let's have a talk with Jesus, because you've fallen way short here. I have my share of things I would have done differently looking at my graduate education. I definitely would have looked at more schools. I'm happy with where I went and the experience that I had there, by and large. But it would have been nice to have... There's always that what if. It's always a what if for me.
Yeah. That'll never go away. But
probably, yeah. I mean, it's just... Yeah, there's always... And because someone actually said, so what, you didn't want to go? And I said... No, it's not that I didn't want to go. It was a very clear goal that I had, that I wanted to go. However, I often wonder what it would have been like to have gone someplace else, to have looked at more places, to just have explored more options. Would my career have been different? Would I be on this show now? Talking to people.
Yeah, if that hadn't happened. Yeah. So.
Okay. So now it's time for Ask Your Brista. Our letter this week, we shall call this dame Charnel.
Charnel?
Yeah, Charnel. I'm feeling like a Charnel. So she basically says, hey, y'all. I love that. Always a nice greeting. How do you know if you can trust your man? I have been cheated on, and I don't want to go through it again. So, what you think, Dark Boy? She cut right to it.
Yeah, short and sweet. It's hard. I think it's hard. I mean, I think if you don't know, if you're just getting to know somebody, then it's kind of hard to know how they operate, I guess, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I know for me, like, I don't worry about my husband doing that, because I kind of know, I mean... I know if he's working late at work, he really is working late at work. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I know that. I just know, just over time getting to know him, I know that.
Yeah.
And he knows me too. Hey, you know, I'm working late at work, or I try to give him as much notice as possible. I try to tell him where I'm going. And again, it's not out of suspicion. I would just say, I mean, I think if your man is just disappearing for hours mm-hmm. and you don't know where, but there has to be balance, because you can't be like stalking him where you have to know where he is 24/7.
Yeah.
But I mean, if there's all these hours missing out of the day and you don't know where he is or what he was doing, or if you guys are living together, and I don't know, I think you just have to know. Mm. I think you have to know his habits. Mm-hmm. And of course, obviously, besides the obvious, I mean, if you're finding other women's items or phone numbers or, you know, lipstick on some of his clothing or her perfume, then besides the obvious.
Yeah. You know. That's true. For me, it's certainly one of those issues that doesn't have an easy answer.
Right.
Because I think, as Dark Boy said, it's really about you learning who someone is, watching them. You know, you can listen, but you got to watch and see if what they say matches up to what they do.
Yeah.
Because sometimes there's a little bit of a disconnect there. And I think it's really important to look for the consistency, Dark Boy said. At some point, I know you're looking for a guarantee, a certainty.
Yeah, a guarantee. Yeah.
You're not going to get that, sweetheart. That's just not coming. He can say to you, you're the only one for me. You're the only one I see, blah, blah, blah. And that may be true. But it could just as easily not be true. Men can be mercurial and capricious creatures. We can be given to our whims. it's just, we can do great damage with the best of intentions. Yeah, it's not always easy. No guarantees. I mean, that's what love is.
Yeah,
you kind of have to jump in there and let her rip.
Yeah, I think you kind of have to build trust.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like you said, like if his words and actions, if they match, then I think you're good. You know, so like for me, when I'm going to the gym, I'm actually going to the gym. You know, if I'm going to the store, I'm going to the store. If I'm hanging out with you guys on Wednesday night, I'm hanging out with you guys. You know what I mean? So it's not like there's any weird thing. Well, you said you were going to be here, but you're over here. So I just think it's, you have to build that trust, and that doesn't necessarily mean that it's 100% going to work, but I think you just got to take time and know your man.
You're never going to fully know when they're not in your presence. And even if he's in your presence, whether you're the only thing on his mind, I have no idea. You're never going to really know all of that. So I think the best thing you can do is to really just enjoy who he is, focus in on the things that drew you to him in the first place. Don't be naive. I mean, if you feel like something's up, then you have to do your due diligence and figure out what your man is up to or what's setting off your gut about him. But also be careful not to run him crazy with the insecurities that you may be harboring.
Well, yeah.
I mean, that's the other side of it. No one wants to have to defend themselves constantly against your insecurities and expectations, because sometimes it can start looking like projection, like, am I the one that's cheating or are you the one cheating? Let's just start there. So you do have to really kind of be careful about that. But also ask yourself, in this relationship, are your needs being met? Because I feel like if they're not being met, then that's certainly the bigger concern, more so than I don't want to get cheated on. You're supposed to be primary project in his world, so to speak. You're supposed to be a place where he invests a lot of his time and attention. And if you're not that, then there's a problem. Then I'd say, yeah, there's a little issue here. But I think right now, you're probably just, you know, a little caught up. just a tad caught up. But I do feel like you're fine. Learn your man. Learn who he is. Learn what he likes, what he's about. Understand what he appreciates about you. I feel like I'm missing the mark a little bit, but...
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, just... To me, it's really... Yeah.
Well, she will have to let us know, I guess, over time.
Yeah, it's trust is slow to build and quick to lose. It's a cliche, but it's real. Because everything that you thought about this guy could go out the window very quickly by just one mistake that he makes. So be fair, be open, be discerning. Keep an eye on what's going on, because it's not just a matter of, I'm watching you to make sure you don't cheat on me. It's like, I'm watching you to see how you move because I need to know how you move. I need to know who you are because I'm investing my time and my resources and my body in you, in this relationship with you. So I need to know what's going on. Are you worth it? But it's an age-old question. No guarantees.
Yeah. All right. She'll have to let us know about that one.
Okay. So now moving on to helping a brother out. We got Dark Boy with some brothers needing some assistance.
Yes. Okay, so this week's letter is from Theo in Denver.
Okay. Hey, Theo.
Theo says, I am gay, but not into anal sex. I know 100% that I'm gay, but I'm totally put off by the thought of anal sex.
Mm-hmm.
I've never in my life had sexual fantasies about anal intercourse. I feel very insecure about this. I know it's not a very good example, but gay pornography seems to always contain anal intercourse, which makes it not exciting for me at all. This has made me feel real confused. Mm-hmm. All the gay guys I know tend to identify themselves being bottom or top. Mm-hmm. For this reason, I feel reluctant to talk or date other gay guys. Is it unusual for a gay guy not to be into anal intercourse? And it says, for the record, I do have sexual fantasies about kissing, hugging, oral sex, hand jobs, etc.
No, it's not abnormal at all.
No. Listen to our episodes on the sides.
Yeah, I think it was a Dick Thump episode 2, where we talk about tops, bottoms, verses, and sides. And those, the sides are basically the guys that aren't into anal intercourse. And which is kind of the name sides is kind of odd, but okay.
Yeah, side, but not the side pieces, although you can listen to that one too, but not side pieces.
Yeah, not the side piece. It sounds like outside of anal intercourse, you have a very well-formed, you know, sexual repertoire.
Yeah.
You know the things that you're into, and there are guys out there that are into that as well. There are guys that are wired similar to you. It's all about the tongue. It's about the body contact. They don't want nobody up in them like that. And there's nothing abnormal about that.
Yeah.
So in terms of gay porn, if you want gay porn that actually would work for you, I have two recommendations. Both of them are from the same company, Treasure Island Media. They had a classic series, what is it, Damon Dog Blows America, I think. It was about 6 or 7 films featuring this rather toothy guy. He's like a skater boy. I don't know what aesthetic you're into, but he can suck a mean dick. And they're just videos of him going around the country sucking dicks. That would be one film series. You can get to that actually at Treasure Island Media.com, and I think it's on DVD, if I'm not mistaken. The other thing is also from Treasure Island Media, but it's the acronym Treasure Island Media, so it's Tim SUCK or Tim Suck, and it's actually a subscription-based series, and it's videos. They come out every week. There's also a library they have now where it's just all oral sex. There are I don't know about any studios producing any sort of cuddling porn, so to speak.
There has to be.
It's probably fetish. It would be considered a fetish item, even though it's not a fetish.
Yeah.
It's part of the fetish or the niche market. But, you know, consult Madam Google to get you some porn that actually works for you.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of
just
did
dating.
You have anything to add to that, Dark Boy? Yeah, I'm like, I don't want to take over with a monologue.
No. I mean, the porn, you know, I wouldn't have had any recommendations. No, I mean, I don't think it's unusual to not want it. Again, from just the episode that we recorded a couple weeks ago, there's proof of that. I just think, just like in this letter, how you've put it out there, what you like and what you're not into, I think it's the same thing you got to do with potential dates.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you're on the apps, if you're online or anything like that. But I think, I personally have no problem with putting everything out at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that way you're kind of not wasting your time, or they're not wasting their time either. I would just kind of, I mean, it's harder, of course, if you're meeting people in person, but you still have to talk about or discuss it. But I do think, like, if you're on apps, you just put it, what did you put in the letters? It's what you put on the apps. Mm-hmm. And one thing that's, again, we've talked about this before. I'm not on the apps, so I don't know. I'm assuming they have a list or whatever that people can select and put what they're into.
Mm-hmm.
Certain obviously, you know, you don't put top or bottom or anal, because that's not going to work for you.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully the people at the other end pay attention to that and see, okay, this guy's not into it. And so the only, hopefully, you know, the ones that respond know that going in.
Mm-hmm.
And you could start seeing guys. I don't think you should be reluctant to date people because of that.
Mm-hmm.
I just think you just have to find them. You guys have to find each other. And it should be easier now than ever, but...
And I actually have a couple more suggestions in terms of working with the apps and personal ads and different boards. Some of the keywords you want to look for are body contact, because that refers to this whole collection of behaviors of hugging, and typically hugging, cuddling, kissing, spooning are all in there. So definitely if someone says in their profile they're looking, you know, they are appreciate body contact, that's usually one of those buzzwords for a side.
It's a good sign.
In terms of finding like-minded folk, it just occurred to me, you want to look up Coach Wank, as in Coach Wanker. So... Coach Wank, W-A-N-K. Shout out to Coach Wank. I do miss Bait Nation, brother. Hopefully everything is okay and you're able to bring the podcast back on board. But he has a podcast that he started called Bait Nation, short for Masturbate Nation. He actually did an interview on, I don't know if it was Gay Side Stories. He was also on Male Media Mind, is where I think I first heard of him. If you go to YouTube and you do a search for Coach Wank, or just do a search for Coach Wank, because I think he's on Twitter. He has a Tumblr page, which has quite a bit of porn clips on it of, like, real guys at jack-off parties, at bait sessions, as they're often called. And he also talks about frottage, or just frot, which if you're not into penetrative sex, but you do want all the full-body sensations, then frot is your game. 'Cause he can even break down the best lubes for you for it. You know, silicone versus water-based, and, you know, Vaseline, because you're not putting it in anywhere. You know, he can break it down. And as his name suggests, he's Coach Wank. He answers questions. He may even have a means of connecting you to some folks that are in your town and just giving you access to, like, a board or something that may have a listing of parties and events and tons of guys that are into the things that you're into. So really, I think, Theo, the big thing for you is just finding your tribe, and we all have to do that. Find your tribe, and when you find them, be a good guy, because you'll be welcomed in. You'll find that there is a spectrum of men there of different body types, ethnicities, ages, you name it. Once you find your tribe, they're out there. Definitely out there. I'm trying to think. Yeah, I mentioned his Tumblr page. There's nothing wrong with you. It's actually awesome that you know what works for you and what doesn't. I've encountered guys that are not into anal intercourse. I've encountered more than my share. I've actually dated a couple. Didn't work for me. As I've said, you know, there needs to be some fucking going on. And if it ain't with you, it's going to be with somebody.
For me, like, I mean, I kind of the same way. I mean, again, I don't want to criticized or anything like that. It wouldn't work for me. To me, there needs to be, there needs to be a pair of balls swinging somewhere. So
exactly, and thwacking up against a taint or something, you know, just kind of like them and them Antonio Biaggi balls, you know, just hanging low and slapping your shit. But okay, let's not get vulgar. But why not? But yeah, it's
well, you can't mention Antonio Biaggi and not mention those balls.
I know, those balls are just legendary. Although he's been kind of canceled because, you know, he incited the Beehive and said some really, I would actually say certainly he said some prickish shit. And he actually, you know, he said Beyonce was overrated. He made it racial. You know, you can have an opinion and say she's overrated. But you can't make it racial, and he made it racial. And that was, what, about 5-6 months ago that he stirred that shit up? And I don't know if he did it as a publicity stunt or not. I don't think he did himself any favors out in the court of public opinion, but perhaps traffic at his hair spa that he claims to have an ownership stake in is up, and you know, his website, his subscription site is doing better sales. I don't know, but I would,
we're going off topic, but
yes, we are. Sorry, I might edit. But folks, we want to know about them little tidbits in the culture. That one may have flown under the radar. I recognize everyone has their tastes, and if you're not into certain things, then you shouldn't do them. And you may end up with a guy that actually is big on anal, and if you love him and you want to be with him, then you're either going to have to get into anal, or you're going to have to basically be okay with an open relationship, because if you try to lock down his dick in that way or lock down his hole, it's going elsewhere.
Yeah.
And he's either going to be honest with you about it, like, hey, I love you and I do want to be with you, but I need some dick in my ass. And so if you're not willing to do it, I'm going to have to go to somebody who will.
He wants prostate.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you and that finger ain't cutting it. You and that tongue ain't cutting it. I need some dick, you know. It's like, you know, if you can negotiate. Theo's probably not even putting a finger up an ass. He's just not turned on by it.
Yeah, he's not. He says anal intercourse, but I just don't think he wanted anything anal at all.
Yeah, poor thing. There's so many nerves there, Theo. Are you sure? Like, you know, maybe. Okay.
He seemed pretty certain.
Yeah, he is, and I should respect that. I'm giving him, like, you sure you don't like girls? Have you had one? I'm doing that to him, so that's not appropriate. Theo, we celebrate you, brother. Find your tribe. You know, stand your ground on what you are and are not willing to do. And if people, you know, come at you like I insensitively just did, you know, educate them. Let them know, like, hey, there's nothing wrong with me. I just don't like that. It's not how I'm wired. There's something about the skin that's very erotic to me. Whatever it is, let them know. Because the reality is a lot of guys don't really think about sex in the ways that we probably need to. It's very genital focused, and there's so much more to the body that can turn you on. I mean, for me, it's different things. For me, my ears are kind of a trip. Like, when I go get my hair cut, I'm like, yeah, can you trim around my ear? Because if that razor get just close enough with that buzzing, ooh. You know, it's like, haircuts are an erotic experience for me. Maybe not for my barber, but they are for me. But I also am very respectful about that. I don't, you know, pull them into some shit. But it's like, ooh, that was a nice little, ooh. You know, and then I'm good. So, yeah, it's don't feel ashamed of how you're wired. It doesn't sound like you do. It sounds like you're more frustrated about, like, where the hell are the people? Where do I go? Because the porn wasn't working. You know, all the guys, you can't find folks. They're out there. Was he in Vegas?
Denver.
Denver. Okay. I don't know if there's a Jacks of Color in Denver or not, but there used to be a group called Jacks of Color. I forget the brother's name that used to do it, and he still might do it. I don't know if Jacks of Color is alive, but they're alive. The group is still running or not. But it used to be a monthly or weekly. I think it was at least monthly, and it moved around. It was big in D.C. Lydell Ross, I think was his name, or Lydell Ross. L-I-D-E-L-L, or there might be two D's in there, but... He was the coordinator, if not the originator, of the Jacks of Colors party. There used to be one in L.A. called L.A. Jacks, I believe. And they're basically parties where guys get together and they circle jerk. They jack off. You might have some nipple play incorporated with that. You may have kissing incorporated with that. But it's basically no penetration. It's a no penetration party. I don't know if they're still going on, but I remember studying them. Way back in the 90s, when I was still in school, that was one of the first sexual subcultures I actually studied. And I didn't actually make it to an LA Jacks party until probably 94, when I actually got to experience one in person, as opposed to just doing a lot of the reading of the recounted experiences of participants at the parties. I actually got to go to one. I went to one in D.C. when I was in grad school. That one was, that house was hot. But it was summer in D.C., so it's hot, it's humid. So, I just remember that party. It was just, the lighting was kind of dim. It was a spectrum of men, body types, ages, ethnicities. You had hairy, you had smooth, you had gray hair, white hair, black hair, blonde hair, red hair, curly pubes, nappy pubes, no pubes. You had dicks that were 4 inches. There was one guy walking around with probably about 9 or 10 inches. You had a lot of guys in that normal 5 to 7 range, that average range. There was a lot of variety there. So I have a feeling if there is a Jack's party, whether it's officially advertised or not, you may even want to start something like that. Find your tribe. I mean, go on Facebook, look for groups on body contact, look for groups on frottage, look for groups on masturbation. Those guys are out there, and there are tons of them. Now, some of them be faking the funk. They'll be sucking your dick and try to run some fingers up your ass, and you got to check them. But there are some guys that legitimately are out there, and they believe in a blowjob. I think in the dick dump episode? The dick dump was actually me recounting an experience that I had where I went to school, where I got like a 1 hour blowjob from this guy. He was a dick connoisseur. He was all about sucking dick. That was it. It's like, that was his thing. And I was like, so you don't, that's all we doing? My world was rocked by the time he was done with me. I'm happy I was home on my couch, because all he had to do was get up and put his clothes back on and leave. And in his subsequent visits, he didn't even take his clothes off. Although I did appreciate that time he came in his scrubs. That was nice. I said, oh, I didn't know I had a doctor fantasy, but apparently I do. Those guys are out there. I know I've talked for quite a bit, Dark Boy. Was there anything you wanted to put in there as well?
Nope. I think we've given him everything we can give him.
Yeah, I mean, my vessel is about empty. We are approaching an hour and 56 minutes, at least on the running clock for us. So I think we can probably wrap this one up. So if you are like dear Theo, and have some questions, whether it be sexual, whether it be life, I'm while I am Dr. Pookie, you know, I'm not a licensed therapist per se, but I give advice every day, all day. And much of it is good, in my opinion. But if you have a question or just want to bounce something off some folks, send us a letter. You can reach us at sexualhealingpod@gmail.com. You can also reach out to us through our Facebook group, which won't be anonymous completely, but you can certainly send us a message that only we'll see through the page, and that's Sexual Healing from Top to Bottom on Facebook. So you can also reach us on Instagram at Sexual Healing Pod. We are known as Pod Sexual on Twitter. And you can also subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts. We're on Google Play Music in their podcast division. So there are plenty of ways to catch us. And if you don't like the podcast players and the apps and all that, on Wednesdays, stop by our website. It's just sexualhealingpod.com. And you can actually listen to or download the episodes there. You can download the MP3 files and put them on your player and listen whenever you get ready. Oh, so any closing thoughts today, Dark Boy, before we shut it down?
Nope, I am good.
Okay. Well, you know, as we said to Theo, be proud and invested in who you are. When you find somebody that's intriguing to you, as we said to Charnel, do your homework, study him. Not to pick him apart, but just to figure out who he is, what he's about, and whether you guys are a good fit. And also, be aware of who you are and what you bring to the party. There's a reason he's interested in you. You need to figure out what that is and make him tell you. You know, that's part of being in a relationship. So, yeah, that's all I got.
All right.
Yeah. Find a tribe. Have fun. Be safe out there, y'all.
Yes. Till next time.
Yes. Keep it sexy, but always healing.
Yep.
All right. Be well.
Yeah. Later.
Later.